There's so much energy dedicated toward tonight, 5 minutes past 10. An Australian man in the final of an 800 metres hasn't been seen since 1968. Peter Boal is that man. He'll carry so many hopes. We'll be at his shoulder as he runs that race. Tamsin Manu has guided us through so much of this on Channel 7. She's doing a sterling job alongside Bruce. It's great to have Tamsin with me on SEN.
Well, thanks for having me on, Derek.
So 5 minutes past 10 tonight, we're all going to be gathered. There's nothing quite like a live chance in a medal race on the track. Set Peter Boal up for us. Where should we pitch our hopes?
Oh, I think you should pitch your hopes at an outside medal chance. I think he's running fabulously. If you look at the quality of athletes in that field, people tend to look for the gold medal at the Kenyan, Ferguson Rosic. I think he's the one to watch. He has the credentials coming in. But if you look at the rounds, I think a lot of people wouldn't be surprised if Pete Boal hits that podium because he's just looked so confident and been running so smoothly.
Talk us through his semi-final and how you analysed that as to set him up as this chance.
Okay, so in the semi-final, with our athletes, I guess what you're looking for is a bit of confidence in middle distance, and you can tell that by the way they positioned themselves in the race. And he positioned himself right up the front, suggesting that he knew that it was top two that made it through and he needed to be there at the business end of the race and he needed to have exit routes to make sure that he could get out, because it can get quite rough, the 800 metres.
Yes.
And the thing I liked the most was down the front straight when the big, tall Canadian Arup was dropping back the pace just a smidge. Pete went to his shoulder and kind of looked at him, which then kicked him into the next gear. Arup picked it up, and that made that next 200 metres strong. But that just showed the confidence of Pete Boal. He wasn't overawed by the calibre of athlete that he was running against. He wasn't put off by the fact that they were probably thinking that Arup, the guy that he went up to, was one of the favourites for a medal. He took it to them. And then even down the back straight, he was looking around just to cover everyone's move. He just looked so fit. He looked fast, he looked good off the ground. And then coming home when everybody else was nice and tense and fighting for those minor positions, he was waggling his finger with a
yes.
little bit of cockiness, but I loved it.
It was a lovely touch. One of the things about the medals that have been won at this Games is they've all been sprinkled with a little bit of magic dust, I think. And he is the most beautiful story. And obviously we're getting to know it more broadly, but within athletic circles, you would have known it for many a year by now.
Oh, yeah. No, Pete Boal has been one of our favourites for such a long time. He did flee. He flees Sudan when it was in civil war with his family. They stayed in Egypt for 4 years, and luckily enough, he came to Australia with his family and settled in Perth eventually. And was discovered on a basketball field at school when his teacher needed an extra runner. And he's just the most wonderful person. I sat next to him on a plane earlier this year. He's smart. He's articulate. He's humble. He's kind. I really hope after this he becomes one of the faces of our track and field team, because not only our track and field team, a role model for many Australians, because especially the youth coming through, because he's just a brilliant, brilliant character.
Yep, it's easy to be emotionally swept up in what he is attempting tonight. And just in a historic sense, and obviously you've set the terms for this as we're talking the late 60s, to have an Australian... Yeah. Who's capable of being not only in the final, but being regarded as a chance. What sort of breakthrough is this in the middle distance running?
You go back to those 60s that you're talking about, and 1968 in Mexico City, a man called Ralph Abell took that Olympic gold medal in the 800 metres. So he's looking to emulate him, and he's already passed a few times now his previous Australian record, standard that he did set in those Olympic Games, and it's just been fantastic to watch. But it's also, I love the fact that Australians are talking about middle distance running again and having a genuine Olympic chance, that medal chance, that doesn't come around a lot. I mean, it's incredibly hard to be successful at middle distance, and what Pete Boal is doing is just incredible. And the fact that we're talking about him in this way is just super exciting, not only for him, but people like Pete, that's the person who will inspire the next generation to come through. So I just think it's so exciting to have somebody like Pete in the sport promoting it and up there with a medal chance.
It's every bit of that. How great is this track meet shaping up as? Like, these games are exceeding, they've certainly shed all the fears, and I think they're exceeding most of the expectations. The track feels like it's had an enormous few days to get underway. What's your perception of how it's been?
To be honest, I still haven't come off the ceiling from when I watched that men's 400 metre hurdles.
Yeah.
Bruce and I cannot believe what we witnessed watching that race, and I think many people around the world were just in shock when they saw Carsten Vorholm from Norway run 45 seconds for a 400 metre hurdles. It's unheard of. It's never been done before. None of us thought it was possible. It was just phenomenal, and there's been performances like that that have just shocked us, that have inspired us, that have lifted us out of our seats. And I think we really needed that. And I think that's why, even though there's no crowd in Japan, it's still been fabulous to watch. And you can see that the athletes, it doesn't matter. It's still an Olympic medal on the line, and they're giving everything to get the medals. And that's why the excitement's coming across into our living rooms. And we're really sensing that. We're seeing what it means to the athletes. And it's just been so good to watch.
So Vorholm's world record, Tamsin. Ryan Gregson is watching these with me, and he was instantly drawn to, he thinks it's the best thing he's ever seen on the track, and it might be as good as there's ever been in track and field, and clearly that was your and Bruce's reaction as well. What are we to make of a world record broken by so much, by 0.76 of a second?
Oh, okay, so there's a few things. There's obviously the new shoes, and I think they're making a little bit of difference in certain events, but even so, I just think it's the competition. It's the fact that we're talking about a guy who trains ridiculously hard. He's had a steady improvement through his career. Him and his coach, Leif, in Norway, worked incredibly hard, but they haven't jumped out of the box. They've had that steady improvement, and he was threatening running that fast. He just needed Rye Benjamin and Dos Santos from Brazil in the race so that he could have that extra adrenaline rush and the bit of competition that he needed to push him to superhuman efforts.
And where do you think it rates in what you've seen?
Oh, it's the biggest thing I've ever witnessed,
yes.
You know, in terms of in my lifetime. I mean, my favourite sporting moment will always be Cathy Freeman's gold medal in Sydney. But in terms of shock at what I've seen, my dad sat opposite Bob Beamon. You know, he was in the crowd in 68 Olympics watching Bob Beamon do the long jump. And I can't believe Bruce's call yesterday. It was just so fabulous. And when he said it was Beamon-esque, that's exactly what he meant. It was like what my dad went to the 68, to seeing Bob Beamon jump over the world record and sail past it. For me, that was, you know, something that will take a lot to ever surpass. I mean, the 1989 grand final with Hawthorn DeLong was pretty good, but I think this this definitely takes the cake.
You just lost me, Tamsin. We were going so well. Now, last night, Bruce used the word starstruck with Arian Knighton, the 17-year-old. We watched him in the heats yesterday, and he go, yep, I can see the promise of this. Last night, when he started to glance to his right, before he took the lead in his semi-final, that was a moment in time, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. 17 years of age with that swagger, that confidence. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's definitely someone that we can talk about in terms of how good Bolt was. He's got big footsteps, shoes to fill, but, gosh, he's heading in the right direction. That was phenomenal. I've never seen a 17-year-old, and he looks like a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a tall 17-year-old, but he doesn't look muscly. He trains four times a week. He hasn't put the work in yet required to be doing what he did last night. And he's an outside chance, not only for the medal, but for the goal, because he looked like he had a lot more to give.
Just the way he carried himself, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he won the gold medal tonight now. It was almost as if it had dawned on him, hello, I can win this.
I know. I think you're right. I think he just sort of thought, okay, yeah, I'm in with a chance. The person who I think, I mean, he's got two athletes he has to watch. Noah Lyles, his countryman who beat him for the US trials, is a fabulous talent as well. And he's still young as well. He's just not 17. And De Graaf, the Canadian who was silver in Rio, the one who looked across at Bolt in his semi-final, he's probably the favourite going in. You can't discount the other American Benarek. But it's going to be a fabulous final. And like we said, as soon as you have that quality, the times just seem to drop. So it could be fast.
How big a star would Knighton be, do you think, if he was to win this gold medal tonight?
Do you not feel that the 100 metres was just lacking that little bit of star power? It was an awesome race, and Dacon Fiatalian, who won it, was fabulous. But in the women's event, we can see Elaine Thompson versus Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and it's that rivalry, and everyone's talking about it. I feel like in the men's sprints, because you had such a good era with Bolt, people are craving that next star. And I think if Knighton steps up and does what he's capable of, I mean, it's ridiculous that we're even talking about that a 17-year-old could win a gold medal. I think that he will become a global sensation because track and field wants that next 100-metre male star.
Yeah, it feels like a dawning. Hey, so you and I are absolutely akin, and let's use Noah Lyles, on the athletes that shut down at least two strides prematurely, and Lyles ended up coming third in his semi-final and left himself at the mercy of the times. So I find myself yelling at the TV, a bit like you do, Tamsin. Why? Why, for the sake of two strides, are they doing this?
It's so frustrating. I mean, especially when you think it's not like it's a massive distance race. It's like a sprint. Surely you could make the whole 200 metres. What's the difference between that and 195? You know, you've come all this way. You may as well run through the line. So, no, it's so frustrating. I cannot tell you how frustrated I was with Sharika Jackson's race, not only because you feel disappointed for them, because you know they're going to have to deal with that mentally, and that will be incredibly tough for them to overcome. But also for the fact, as a fan, you want to see the best in the finals. So it is frustrating. But, you know, he's missed out on a plumb lane by doing that. I still think Noah Lyles is the favourite going into that final.
So is it ego? Is it smart, Alec? Is there any science behind it?
Oh, I just think they get too cocky sometimes. Yep. You know, I think it's that little bit of gamesmanship in the sprints. You know, it's that if I look easy, I'm going to really throw them off. But they do play mind games. And I just think, well, you can play your mind games, but at the end of the day, you've got to tick the boxes of the basics right. So, you know, crossing the line in first is probably the first box you want to have ticked, because that's the one that will probably put the most pressure on your competition.
It does feel rather essential in these scheme of things. Tamsin, just as we finish the 1500, so you saw the heats yesterday, Stuart McSwain, Ollie Hoare through. So we feel a surge of hope with McSwain, I think. Is that well placed on what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, definitely well placed. I think in the men's 1500, it's an incredible field. There's a lot of talent. He'll look over his shoulders on that start line, and left and right, it'll be littered with talent. But the thing we like about Stuart McSwain is he's not afraid to take the lead. He's not afraid to be tough when he needs to be tough. He ran that sub 3:30 leading in, which suggests that he is a medal chance. But he's got one more round to get through first before we talk about that. It's just middle distance running. The rounds are really nerve-wracking, and the tactics really do come into play. If it goes slow, it brings in athletes who may not be as good off that faster pace. So it's one of those things where let's just get him through that next semi-final run. Same with Ollie. Ollie Hoare's running beautifully, and he's not without a chance either for the podium. So both of them being through is just fantastic. And the one that we lost, Jayed, was the national champion. He'll be back and better for having the experience at that level.
Tamsin, great to chat, and thanks for your time. Good calling. It's been sensational.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Tamsin Manu from Channel 7. So 10:05 tonight, Peter Bolt, Barry sent through. My whole family is having Spag Bolt tonight to support and enjoy his big run.